Chairs No Waiting, episode number 586, Nice Dress Nelly. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and pick up some of Mayberry's finest country bacon. Oh, it is good. Andy would love it. So drop by over and pick up some of it. I know you'd like it. And pick up a great t-shirt. It's an Andy Griffith photo collage t-shirt. I happen to be wearing it tonight. Great t-shirts over at Weavers. Go over to Weavers and check out all the fun stuff they got over there. I know you're going to love it. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 586 is Rainey Vinson. Hello, Rainey, and hello, you. Hello. Glad to have you here with me in Mayberry. I want to thank Rainey for supporting the show and all of you who support the show. I want to thank you for being here. It's always fun to just spend a little bit of time in Mayberry. And who am I, by the way? I'm Alan Newsome, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. I run imayberry.com and all kinds of other websites on the internet. And my wife runs Weavers. So if it's Mayberry, we got it. We're going to be talking about Nice Dress Nelly. Now, I'm assuming that many of you know about Nice Dress Nelly, but you may not. But this has been coming up in some conversations in the last few weeks. And so, it made me realize, I don't think I have ever done a podcast episode about Nelly. I've done them about Mr. Swamp and Tom Jacobs and all kinds of other stuff. But I've never done one about Nelly. So Nelly, we used to see her all the time on episodes of the Andy Griffith Show. She would be coming into Andy's house. There's one episode in particular. If you go to Mayberry.info and look up Nice Dress Nelly, you'll see the picture where she's walking in the front door when Barney is trying to get all the girls over to Andy's house so he can pick out one as a wife or a girlfriend. She is the one that walks in and they say, Nice Dress Nelly, when she comes in. So that's why we call her that. So it's been years we've been trying to figure out exactly who she is. As I said, we've talked about Tom Jacobs now, and we talked about Mr. Swamp. But let's talk about Nice Dress Nelly. Well, TV Land, not TV Land. Oh, they'll be mad. MeTV. I'm so used to TV Land being the one. MeTV recently had an article that they published back on May the 7th that was called, they said, this mysterious unidentified Mayberry actress was a stand-in for Don Knotts. And they're talking about Nice Dress Nelly was a true marvel of the Andy Griffith Show. In a small town like Mayberry, everybody knows everybody's name. It's not like Cheers, but everybody knows everybody's name, from Floyd to B to Barney to minor characters like Leon and Johnny Paul Jason. We know all their names. Dozens of familiar faces populated the Andy Griffith Show in the town of Mayberry. And this makes it all the more incredible that today, 60 years after it premiered, that the sitcom still has some casting mysteries. That's right. We got mysteries that still remain. Fans once wondered about the identity of a man in a white fedora. And it turns out his name was Tom Jacobs. Tom Jacobs was the brother of Danny Thomas. That's right. For years, we didn't know. We thought his name was Johnny Koontz for a long time. And finally, we realized and were able to track him down and find out his name was Tom Jacobs. And he was a frequent extra on the Andy Griffith Show. And then there was Mr. Swamp. We all know about Mr. Swamp. We still don't know who Mr. Swamp is. We don't know his name. Tom Jacobs, we finally learned. Mr. Swamp, we still don't know who he is after all these years. And yes, please, please listen. We have asked all the cast members, all the directors, all the writers, the crew, anybody that we have been able to talk to over the years has been asked who Mr. Swamp was. All of the men and ladies and women, all that we've asked, they remember him, but they don't know his real name. So this is still a great mystery for Mayberry fans. That's not the only one. So we see these folks in the town. We see Tom Jacobs, a man in the white hat walking through town. He's wearing a white fedora. We see him, and we see Mr. Schwump sitting around at the, in the stag line with a bunch of bent over teenage boys or something. But Nice Dress Nelly is another of these figures from the Andy Griffith Show that we don't know who they are. She's a stylish lady, appears throughout the entire run of the Andy Griffith Show. She made her debut on the second episode, The Manhunt, back in October of 1960, and can be seen leaning against the door in the Civic League meeting 8 years later in the finale, Mayberry RFD. That was the name of the episode. So she was around all that time. Now, Ellie is seen dancing by the saxophone player at the Mayberry Union High High School reunion and class reunion, that episode. And she's dancing again with a bispeckled man in the Fun Girls episode. She is sitting on at the judges' table during the flower contest in Only a Rose, Aunt B. I believe that's Aunt B's episode. But fans will most likely remember her from the moment in season one in the episode Andy Saves Barney's Morale, when Barney Fife gets a taste of power. And Andy lets him, leaves him in charge, and you see Barney in turn he's arrested the whole town of Mayberry, including the mayor, Aunt B, and Opie, by the way. Chester Jones, you're no down cheating. Anyway, that event all happened in that. Well, Mayberry citizens were packed in the jail, and Andy sets them free and greets them as they come out. And that's when Nellie comes out. That's when Andy says, "Nice dress, Nellie." So that's when that actually occurred. It was on that episode. Thus, that's when the legend or the name Nice Dress Nellie was begun. So if you can't remember, you can see pictures of this. I'll try to post a few on our Facebook page. So if you don't see them, or if you watch the video, you'll see the pictures of her. So you'll be able to picture who this lady is that we're talking about. Or you can just head over to mayberry.info and type Nice Dress Nellie in the search, and it'll take you right to the page and show you all about her. But like Mr. Schwump, Nice Dress Nellie has befuddled fans for decades. We did not know who she was. She went uncredited and unnamed, unknown, all those kind of things. But, you know, in 2019, at long last, there's some clues that actually occurred in 2015, by the way. We found out a little bit more about who she was. Bruce Bilson, he worked as assistant director in the earliest seasons of the Andy Griffith Show. And this is what the article says, the Andy Griffith Show fan podcast, Two Chairs No Waiting, featured a meaty interview with Mr. Bilson that was recorded at Mayberry Days in 2015. Bilson had a lot to say, a lot of insights into the creation of the show and all the beloved characters there, but he had things to say about Miss Marvel. So rather than me reading what he had to say, let's go and hear from Bruce himself when he's talking about Nice Dress Nellie. So take it away, Bruce.
Hello, Charlie. Hey, Nellie, it's a nice dress. Hey.
Tell us, who was Nice Dress Nellie?
Her name was Marvel, M-A-R-V-E-L. She stood in for Don Knotts, if you will believe that. And let me tell you what a stand-in is. Does anybody know? A stand-in when you're making a movie is the actors come in and they rehearse. And when they move over here, the second assistant cameraman puts a mark there where they're standing. And when they rehearse the scene, their stand-in comes in and stands on that mark while the lighting is going on so the actors don't have to stand there.
All right, so that's Bruce telling us who she was. And so she was in so many episodes, as it talked about already, but Bruce went on and told us all about stand-ins and how they stand in the spot. So she was basically the same size as Don. Now, in that interview right there where Bruce was telling that, he said her name was Marvel, right? And the article goes on to talk about her being Miss Marvel in the article. It talks about her name being Miss Marvel. We know her last name now. Well, so that's where we now break and come up with a new line of thought. Okay, so I got an email today from Janet Williams. She wrote me, and she had this to say. She said she had been trying to figure out somebody she could contact about this, but she was trying to find somebody that she could discuss Nice Dress Nelly. She says, I have a theory about the identity of Nice Dress Nelly. So apparently, you know, Bruce Bilson said that her name was Marvel. I think some people thought he meant her last name, but I don't believe that he specified whether it was her last name or not. Listening to the video that we just heard a few minutes ago, the audio there, he did not. He just said her name was Marvel, M-A-R-V-E-L. She said, I don't believe that he said it was her last name, and Janet was correct. In IMDb, there's a woman named Marvel Lawrence who has just one credit for the Danny Thomas Show, Season 9, Episode 3. It's called Love Letters, playing a store clerk. She said, I have looked at all the other Marvels in IMDb, which is the Internet Movie Database, and this woman is the only one who seems to fit. She's of the right era. You know, the 1961 is when the Danny Thomas Show was. And so the Andy Griffith Show, same time. They were both filmed at Desilu. They were Desilu Productions. And so they possibly, almost completely likely, shared bit players. Someone would need to get a hold of Season 9, Episode 3 of the Danny Thomas Show. It's called Love Letters. So if you have a copy of that, I need you to go and check this out and see whether it's really true. So that's her theory. She said she did a little more investigating. Janet did. And she went into Ancestry.com and found out a little more information about this lady whose name on that was named Marvel Lawrence. Okay. Marvel Lawrence was the lady on the Danny Thomas Show. We don't know if it's the same lady, but we're wanting to find that out. She was born in Kansas in 1914, so that would make her in her late 40s or early 50s during the Andy Griffith Show, and that's about the right age that Nellie looks. Good detective work here. Her maiden name was Retter, R-E-T-T-E-R, and her husband's name was John Lawrence, and he had listed himself as an actor as well on his World War II draft card. She found a couple of John Lawrence listings in IMDb that might be him, but there was nothing specific. And he passed away, and Marvel remarried William Richards. So if this is the right person, Miss Lawrence, which is Marvel Lawrence, maybe she married William Richards. She's going by memory, by the way, here. She says she hopes she's remembered this. And she passed away, if this is all right, in the year 2000. Okay. Couldn't find an obituary or any indication that she had children in the state of California. She said she was doing a quick look and looking as fast as she could to see if she had tracked the right Marvel Lawrence, but you just have to keep digging. Janet says, I've never been a big fan of the Danny Thomas Show, and there don't seem to be any websites dedicated to that show where someone might be able to answer this or get the entire DVD set or video so they could look. So what I told her that we would inquire. I would talk to you and see if you could figure it out, because you can do a lot more than just Janet or myself, because it'll be you plus, I don't know, several hundred others, hopefully, that might try to help us find out whether this is right. Marvel Lawrence. Could that be Nice Dress Nelly? We got us a manhunt. I guess a woman hunt in this case. But I thought this was a fun activity. I hope you guys think this is fun as well. I want to thank Janet for writing in. That was great. That observation. She is correct. I had always thought Marvel would be a last name, but Bruce didn't say that. He just said her name was Marvel. So it could be that was her first name. I don't know if we could ask Bruce that. I might see if I can get in contact with him to send him that information, but maybe you can find out and let me know. And then I'll let everybody else know. And Janet can be, she gets a gold star. She can get a diploma for learning or something. So anyway, I hope that's fun to you. I think it's a neat thing to me because there's Nice Dress Nelly. We've been trying to figure out who she was for so long. And Bruce gave us that good information, and this makes it even more. So now, hey, so as long as we're talking about Bruce, I want to make sure you guys realize that you can go and listen to all these amazing interviews with Bruce Bilson. Those, the ones from 2015, those start at episode number 517 and run through, I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget because I'm not going to be able to remember this, 512, because there's five episodes of that. So it goes 512. No, it goes from 517 to 521. I'm dyslexic. That was the 2015 interview. There's one before that from 2011 that's in episodes 360 through 362. So you might want to go and check those out as well. And there'll be a link in our show notes that take you to all the Bruce Bilson interviews. And I want to thank Neil Brower, Professor Brower himself, for allowing me to post these wonderful interviews with Bruce and so many others that Neil has done here on the podcast to just make it more fun for all of us. So, wow. Thank you, Janet, for sending that in. I hope you're right. Cause it'll be really cool to be able to name Nice Dress Nelly. Now I had a voicemail from Darren. He wrote in, and I must not have saved it. Let me get this back in. He wrote in and said that he has an idea why people might not like the color episodes. So let's go and hear from Darren.
Hey, Alan, it's Darren again. Sorry to keep bothering you. I was listening to your most recent podcast, and you were talking about the color episodes and why people don't like them, and of course I'm blind, and so I don't even know they're in color, but I think that they got a little crazy in their writing, and I think that's one reason why I don't like most of them. Aunt B learning to fly, and Andy Griffith going to California, to Hollywood, that's not small town activities. And I mean, there's one episode because I'm a professional musician, and that when Opie wants to make a band, and that's one of my favorite episodes, but I think some of the other ones just don't match the show. And I think that's why some people don't watch it. And I just wanted to tell you that, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, Darren, thanks for that. Hey, that's not a bad observation. I have been, because of the month of Mayberry on MeTV, I have been watching Mayberry RFD, and some of the episodes of Mayberry RFD are really pretty good, but boy, there have been a few that I have watched during the run. I had that exact feeling about that somehow they didn't keep the characters quite the same. They make things be kind of a joke or not. It just out of character. It was out of character. They a little too proud. A little, I don't know. There was one in particular I watched with Goober, where Goober, he felt like he had, you know, not been a man when a girl needed protecting. He got punched in the stomach and it didn't work out good. So he felt ashamed that he had been less, you know, protective of her as he should. And so then, you know, then he got all kind of cocky and trying to just show that he really was a tough guy. And, you know, he could protect people. And, you know, and then they had the girls' judo teacher or something threw Goober over his shoulder and beat him up. So it broke him. Anyway, I felt the same way of what you're talking about there. I was like, oh man, that wasn't, I didn't like that. I felt like they hurt Goober as a character by letting that happen. And so maybe some of the color episodes, some stuff like that happens as well. And yeah, Aunt Bee learning to fly, that seems kind of out of character. Yeah, there's some things like that, that maybe they did push it a little bit. And so maybe that is why people tend to not like the color as well. But I'll tell you this, I have enjoyed watching Mayberry RFD. I know we haven't gotten to do that. I've had a whole month's worth that I recorded every day of May. Well, at least weekday. So, you know, I've got about 15, 20 episodes, I guess 20 something episodes maybe, that I've been able to watch. I've got two more left that I've DVR'd them. So even RFD, I've kind of enjoyed, not all of it, but there's still funny things in it. And you get to see some of the things around Mayberry that you never saw, on the actual show. So maybe the color episodes, just give them a chance. Of course, Darren's got a good point. He can't see whether they're color or not. So, you know, if he doesn't like them, it's not the color. It's not the problem. So, he didn't say he didn't like them, but you know, if that is something that he notices, that would be why. Let's let this go over to Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Removing from consideration actors who were not regulars or prominent recurring characters in the Andy Griffith Show, if you ask Mayberry fans who appeared most often, many would guess Burt Mustin, who usually played the old-timer Judd, though occasionally was other characters during his 14 appearances, stretching between the first and seventh seasons. But actor Bob McQueen is actually tied with Burt, also appearing 14 times as different characters, though his appearances occurred just over three seasons. Bob was born on June the 12th, 1934, in Elkins, West Virginia. He was raised in Washington, D.C., though he and his parents often visited Elkins as he grew up. His high school years were spent at the Fork Union Military Academy in Virginia, a private all-male boarding school. Though considered one of the premier military academies in the country, Bob did not enlist, and instead attended the College of William and Mary, the second oldest college in the country. Bob was interested in an acting career and appeared in the long-running outdoor drama The Lost Colony on Roanoke Island in North Carolina. The 6'4" handsome actor eventually was cast as Sir Walter Raleigh, the lead male character in the historical play. Andy Griffith had also appeared in The Lost Colony. He first appeared in 1947 as just a soldier in the play, but by 1949 he had won the role of Sir Walter Raleigh, which he played for five of the seven seasons he appeared in The Lost Colony. On a return trip to Roanoke, Andy saw Bob's performance as Raleigh and was impressed by him. Andy befriended the younger actor and eventually introduced him to his manager, Richard Link. This led to Bob deciding to move to Los Angeles to try to become a television actor. Andy offered his support in the strongest way possible, giving Bob lots of exposure in bit parts in the Andy Griffith Show. Bob's first appearance in Mayberry was as one of the sons of the farmer who lived next door to the gruff farmer Flint, and his daughter, Frankie. Bob went on to play a variety of small roles in the show. He was one of the police officers when Barney inadvertently captured the escaped criminal in Barney Gets His Man. He was a member of the Esquire Club, a customer getting a manicure from Ellen Brown, a newlywed complaining of a peeping Tom, not knowing it was Barney, and one of the Gordon boys Andy had so much trouble bringing in. After appearing in the Andy Griffith Show 10 times, Bob had his first role outside of Mayberry when he was cast in a small role as a cowboy in a 1962 episode of Gunsmoke. That same fall, he had a more substantial role in an episode of Perry Mason. But Bob's most memorable Mayberry role was as the recurring character Joe Waters, who most often teased Barney in some way. Bob first played Joe in The Farmer Takes a Wife, the first time actually being a bit of a threatening figure to Barney. In the episode's epilogue, when Joe parked in front of the courthouse in a spot marked Sheriff's Parking Only, and the overly confident Barney told him to move it, the cigar-chomping Joe first said, "Why, you little," before he saw Andy behind Barney motioning that he needed to move the car. But six episodes later, when Joe pulled up in his truck behind Barney, who was demonstrating to Opie that saying a rhyme while skipping rope helped keep the rhythm, Joe laughed and asked Barney if he wanted to come over and play jacks later. Three episodes after that, after Andy had smeared lipstick all over Barney's face while the deputy napped, Andy sent Barney to tell Joe to move his truck that he had parked too close to a fire hydrant. Having seen the lipstick, the first mystified and then amused Joe yelled for Barney's attention as he was leaving before getting back in his truck and blew Barney a kiss. Bob played Joe Waters one last time in season 3, when he was one of a group gathered at Wally's who let the farmer selling the produce without a license know that Barney was not the mean one Andy had led them to believe he was. Bob appeared three more times after this as a postal clerk, Fletch Roberts, and as the lieutenant who brought Doc and Tiny to be held in the big house. In 1964, after he had made his last appearance in Mayberry, Bob also appeared in a two-part episode of Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. By that time, Bob had begun working behind the scenes as a manager at Consolidated Film Labs' Tidal, Optical, and Special Effects Department. After a decade of this work, he began working as an agent providing bookings for TV and radio talk shows. In 1975, Bob moved with his family to Oregon, where he established a successful real estate brokerage office. Bob passed away in 1999. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to stay safe, watch out for one another, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Wow, thank you, Randy. That was great information about Bob. And wow, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the great stuff Randy's doing on the internet and around in other places, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com, and you'll be getting something from him and you won't miss anything. So thanks, Randy. Wow, that is good information. Now, Bob McQuain, I've been in contact over the years with I think his daughter or a family member, and she is, and so many have mentioned him, and it was really good to hear that much information all at once. There's a nice write-up on him as well over at Mayberry.info. So if you're over there looking for Nice Dress Nelly, you might want to look up Bob McQuain as long as you're over there as well. So great job, Randy. Folks, if you are not enjoying yourself with the Andy Griffith Show, I don't know what's wrong with you. You got to get in there and jump in and watch it and just let yourself relax and enjoy the show. I know if you're already to this part of the podcast, you watch the Andy Griffith Show, because there's no way you can make it through this show without being a big fan. So I am so happy to just spend a little bit of time talking about the Andy Griffith Show with you. Thanks for coming every week. And I'd love to hear back from you. You can send me an email at floyd@imayberry.com, or you can call me and leave a message like Darren did at 888-684-8415. And I'd love to hear from you. Folks, get out there and have some fun. We got the Mayberry Meetup coming up in July. That still looks like we're going to be able to do it. Betty Lynn is not going to be at the museum and in June, but maybe she'll still be back in July. We'll see. Either way, we'll have a relaxing, fun time in Mayberry. So have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs.